Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, we've got a big show for you. I hope that you can stay for the whole show. First, we're going to start off talking about the expo for just a moment. We have one of the individuals who's going to be there that we're going to interview. Also, then we're going to go into why you should not use an S-Corp to do real estate. We're also going to go why you should not buy condos. And then we're going to talk about why you should not buy Class A apartment complexes. Del, that's a whole lot of don't do. Yeah. And if you could learn a whole lot of don't do, you'll save yourself a whole lot of money on lost real estate investment deals. So having said that, we have the Lifestyles Unlimited Wealth and Passive Income Expo coming up now May 7th through 10th in Irving, Texas. And it's going to be a big one as usual. There's usually between 3,000 and 5,000 people there. And it has everything you could want. I mean, classes on just about every topic. And there's going to be bus tours where you can go around and look at apartment complexes. There's going to be networking. And, of course, there's going to be my presentation. So all that's going to be available to you. All you have to do is go and get signed up. Now, if you haven't already signed up, we are running out of bus tickets. And we're running out of hotel rooms, so you want to go there. So go and text the word EXPO to 88007. Text the word EXPO to 88007 and look at all the different options you have to sign up for different things. You might want to come to the parties. You might want to go personally with me for a day. There's all different things you can do. You just go in there and pick out what you want to do. Now, having said that, we are going to have a lot of people teaching classes there, and they're going to cover different topics. There's also a whole vendor room where it'll be filled with all of the different people we do business with. Today, I've asked one of those people to come on with us. This is Chris Barsness out of Patel Law Group out of Irving, Texas. So, Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Del. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us, if you would, what you intend on sharing at the expo. Have you guys thought that through? Is that a presentation been prepared?
Yeah, so working on the presentation now. Last year at the expo, I taught on private placement memorandums, kind of PPMs for dummies is what it was called, just explaining what goes into the investor disclosures and what investors should look for. This year, we're looking at doing one on asset protection, things to watch out for when you're taking title to real estate ownership. That's kind of the plan for now.
Okay. Well, there's a lot there. Are you going to do both those topics or just the asset protection plan this year?
We're going to do the asset protection and also probably a little bit about the private placement memorandums. We're still working on that.
The private placement memorandum is massive. There's no doubt about it. The amount of information that goes into one of those, if you don't understand them, you can make some major mistakes that you won't even realize you've made until you're down the road somewhere and all of a sudden stuff pops up. You go, boy, I didn't even know that was in there, or that shouldn't have been in there type of thing. So we see that all the time. I'm glad you're going to be speaking on that topic a little bit. And, of course, asset protection is the first thing that we learn right out of the blocks. You know, rule one, don't lose money. So that's always important also. Let's talk a little bit about what your firm specializes in and how someone can get involved with you.
Sure, thanks. We've been, Patel Law Group is based in Irving, Texas. We work with multifamily and other real estate developers, as well as other people raising capital and doing deals in Texas, but we also help clients all throughout the U.S. Securities law, which when you're raising capital, it deals with securities law, and that is based on federal law primarily, so we do help clients outside of Texas. I've been a corporate and securities attorney for over 24 years, primarily in Southern California, moved over to the Dallas area about 4 years ago to take over as a partner at Patel Law. We have one department that helps people with real estate transactions, buying and selling, ESAs, land development, usually primarily multifamily transactions. my team works on helping people with raising money, dealing with investors, securities law compliance primarily is what I focus on. I do have a lot of free educational videos on YouTube under Securities Law Media. You can look it up under either under my name, Chris Barsness, or Securities Law Media. There's also a link, I think, from the Patel Law Group YouTube page. So I have a lot of free content on there on raising capital, real estate syndications, a fund versus a syndication, all kinds of useful stuff. So I try to do as much educational content as I can. But if you want to reach out to us, just look for us at patellegal.com. You can also find me by just looking up my name, Chris Barsness. I have a lot of content online.
So we can't practice law over the radio. However, we can give some advice. So let's start with, hey, I'm just thinking about this, you know, syndication stuff. What's the first stuff you would talk to me? If I came and talked to you, what would you say to me as to how should I start thinking about this? How should I structure my approach to this?
We get a lot of clients who are kind of new to syndication. So we typically try to help educate them on what exactly syndication is, because a lot of people get involved in investing and they don't realize that there's a lot of legal implications, both on the person who's raising money and the person who's putting money in and doing it right. A lot of people just, maybe they've flipped a house and they're like, oh, okay, now I'm going to buy a 4-unit apartment, raise some money from a couple friends of mine, call it a friends and family raise, don't do anything except have them sign an operating agreement, and we're good, right? Well, that's not necessarily the case. So we try to educate them on the securities law side of things to make sure that they don't do anything that could wind up, you know, risking going to jail or having either the securities regulatory agency come after them. Or, you know, what I tell clients is one of the biggest risks that you face, the SEC is too big to worry about. You know, they can get involved in, you know, someone raising $1 million, but generally they have bigger fish to fry. The biggest concern really is a right of rescission, where if your investors are not happy with you and you didn't do things properly under securities law, they can get all their money back plus interest and potentially come after you personally. So we want to try to avoid any personal liability and make sure you do it right.
Yeah, and it's, what's interesting, because I started 35 years ago, and you know, I'd grab a friend and let's go do a deal, and we'd call it partnerships. But it could be a partnership if it's two guys and we're both inputting and interested in what we're doing, we're involved. But the cutoff, and this is interesting, I'd look for your legal statement on this more than mine, but the little small man's idea of this is the second there's anybody in that deal with us that is not contributing, is simply putting money in under the concept that we are going to give them a profit, that's when it becomes a syndication. How close is that to what you believe to be true legally?
Yeah, that's perfect, actually. You know, a lot of times our clients say, well, they may have done a couple partnerships, joint ventures. Can't we just call it a partnership and raise some money, do an operating agreement, and we're good? But generally what I tell clients is there's something called the Howey test, which is a securities law sort of test to determine, is this a securities offering where you need to comply with securities law? And a lot of it really comes down to, I tell clients, is it a passive investor? Like, are they putting money in and contributing some kind of service? Are they helping you decide what to do with the property? Are they managing the property? Somehow involved in the process, that might be okay to do a partnership. But the minute you've got a silent investor, someone who's passively investing, not really making any decisions or helping operate the deal, then that's when you've got a securities offering.
What I want to go into next is, since we have the opportunity to have you here speaking with us, and by the way, Chris is going to be at the Expo, which is coming up here in Irving, Texas, May 7th through 10th, and you don't want to miss. You can all kinds of classes, all kinds of information, road trips, networking, anything and everything. I wish you would at least go and look at the list of stuff that's available by going to our website, or texting the word EXPO to 88007. That's text the word EXPO to 88007. And when you get there, there'll be a whole presentation of the options and the things that are going to be available to you, of which Patel Law Group will be there. And they will have their booth, and they will be teaching their class. So we'll have them to help us. But, Chris, I wanted to come back and give you an opportunity just to share with people out there your understanding, as best that you want to cover it, the difference between an accredited investor and a sophisticated investor. Because I see these people all over the Internet just bringing people in left and right. And I can't believe they're all accredited investors, and I don't believe they are sophisticated investors either. So I just wonder if you could share that with everybody out there as to how you qualify to get into these kinds of syndications.
Sure. Yeah, and that's a huge topic. So basically, when someone raises capital privately, anytime you bring investors in, whether they're you call them a partner, whatever you want to call them, we generally look for exemptions under securities law, and you have to classify people, like you had said, accredited or sophisticated. If they're accredited, then they're kind of a higher level. But even if they're not accredited, they still have to meet the test of being what's called sophisticated. So accredited investors, there's a certain, I think there's about 17 defined terms in terms of what is an accredited investor under securities law. The most common ones are if you make over $200,000 individually or over $300,000 combined with your spouse or spousal equivalent, or you have over $1 million in net worth, not including the value of your primary residence, your home. Now, sophisticated investor, even if you're not accredited, you still have to meet the sophisticated test, but that's not black and white like the other one where there's specific definitions. The SEC talks about a sophisticated investor. This is the way I explain it to clients is think of, do they have, and what the SEC is concerned about is, do they have the right to protect them? Like, do they have enough knowledge, financial background to protect themselves in this investment and understand the investment and what you're doing? So if, you know, and a lot of people in the past, Rule 506B, and before that, there's other rules that changed over the years, but they would look at, okay, if you're accredited, all you have to do is check the box on a subscription agreement and say, yes, I'm accredited. And, you know, not that may not even be the case. The person doing the deal doesn't have to do anything other than have them self-certify. The more common 506C now that you'll see maybe on social media and things say accredited investors only, there's now a requirement that they actually have to take reasonable steps to verify the person's accredited, like getting tax returns or a letter from their CPA to verify that they're not just, you know, hey, okay, yeah, sure, I'm accredited. Let me get in on this deal. But sponsors get in trouble where they start looking at, okay, I just need to get this person in. Let's just call them accredited. Okay, they're not accredited. Well, I'm sure they understand this, right? Without doing anything more like getting a questionnaire from them. What's your investing background? So it's a very important qualification.
So the accredited, in most of these situations, allows that person to get into any number of deals, and it allows the syndicator to bring as many of those people into the deals they want. But the accredited individuals have a limitation. There's, and especially in the kinds of deals that we do, the limitation, I believe, is 35 per deal. Does the SEC actually even look at any of that?
So it's very uncommon that the SEC actually goes in and audits or looks at any of this. The private placement memorandum and a lot of the documents for these private offerings, they're not sent to the SEC. They're not filed with anyone. The only thing we file is what's called a Form D with the SEC. And that basically says, you know, XYZ LLC is raising up to $3 million and has, you know, you can't put in the form that you have 40 unaccredited investors, but generally they're not going to go and look through your documents and see how many unaccredited investors you have. But if either a state agency or the SEC looks at you, then they are actually going to go through and verify whether they're accredited or not.
So in my mind, the risk the real risk, I mean, obviously, there's always the risk the government gets mad at you for some reason. You know, if they want to find something wrong, they'll find something wrong. But the real risk, I think, is that if you do anything wrong or if you're not profitable, your partners can come back after you and say, hey, I shouldn't even have been in the deal. You didn't even do your due diligence. Is that true?
Yes. That's generally what's known as a right of rescission under both state and federal law. And if your investors, you know, if they're not happy, even if they didn't get, you know, maybe they got a decent return, but they're still not happy, and they go dig in and see, okay, well, you didn't follow securities law. You had 40 non-accredited investors, so you lose that exemption, and it's no longer covered under securities law. They're automatically entitled to their money back plus interest. So that's the biggest risk that I think.
That's a pretty big risk, it seems like, because there's always that black swan event, something that comes up that you had no idea, you had not anticipated, and it completely destroys the deal or at least enables it to or disenables it to be able to produce any kind of income for the people invested in the deal. So I think that's a real risk. Well, we're going to come to the end of this break again. So before we do, I want to make sure you get out your information. How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Del. Chris Barsness. You can look me up online. It's Patel Law Group, patellegal.com. You can also look for my YouTube, Securities Law Media, all kinds of free information on there. Again, Chris Barsness.
Are you going to have a vendor booth at Expo along with giving a class?
Yes, we will. We are a sponsor, and we'll have a booth at the Expo, so I encourage everyone to come out. Just look for the Patel Law Group banner or any classes that I'm teaching, Chris Barsness.
And, of course, Chris, you're the handsome one standing in the booth, right?
Exactly. Perfect. Exactly.
That's what I always tell people. I'll be the good looking guy standing over there in the corner. Just come talk to me, right? So, that's great. Well, we're really happy you guys could come on with us because we can't do this business without attorneys that know what they're doing. There's no way, no matter how much experience I or any of my mentors have, there's no way we can teach the practice of law. And these deals have to get written by an attorney. In fact, the old days when people used to think I can just take somebody else's and manipulate it and copy it and use it, those types of approaches don't work anymore. So you definitely need to get yourself an attorney that's handling this kind of stuff. So, Chris, thanks for coming on today. I'll see you at the Expo. The rest of you will be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
To creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today, we're going to be discussing S corporations, why not to use them in real estate, condos, why not to do them at all, and if we have time, we'll get to the Class A deals and why they don't make any sense. So let's start out, first of all, by reminding those that are just tuning in right now that the Lifestyles Unlimited Wealth and Passive Income Expo is only 3 weeks away. That's May 7th through 10th in Irving, Texas. This is the largest real estate expo in the country. It is something you just don't want to miss. The information, the education, the networking, the hands-on, and the parties, the whole bit. It's unbelievable. You add it all together. I want you to go and text the word EXPO to 88007. That's EXPO to 88007. Text that. And look at all the options. There's tremendous number of things you can sign up for, or you can sign up for the whole thing, or you can sign up just for a general pass and, you know, mingle around, take all the classes and talk to people as you mingle around and so on and so forth. But there's other ways you can sign up where you can get buffet lunches and go to private meetings and other kinds of things. But, you know, the bottom line is at least get there, especially if you've never been to one. For all you Lifestyles members, you know, this is the once-a-year chance for you to come and meet all the other Lifestyles members from all over the country, share your experiences, what's going on, how's the marketplace doing, how's your part of the country doing, etc. But for those of you who have never been a real estate investor, this is the greatest opportunity in the world for you to meet real estate investors, truly, to be able to come and network with people. And you'll be surprised. People are the most open people you've ever seen in your life. You'll walk around and talk to people and they'll just open up like, hey, I was you before. I didn't understand, you know, there's no way you can actually believe how great this is until you get in there and you see people that have done it. So text that word, text the word EXPO to 88007. Now, let's go into S Corporation. Somebody called me up and said to me, or not called me up, I'm sorry, sent me an email. He said, Dell, I had a person tell me I should put my property management company into an S corporation. And I'm sorry, it was a C corporation, my bad, a C corporation, which is to say then you can write off your expenses and you can have a 401k. And all of that is just completely wrong. Real estate income is tax-free when done correctly. But if you run any of that income inside of a C corporation, it now becomes corporate income and it's earned income. For you to take any of that income out of that C corporation, you're going to have to pay not only income taxes, but Social Security and Medicare. We don't pay Social Security and Medicare. So my companies pass through LLCs and property management companies in LLC, and even my larger corporations or S corporations where they pass right on through, and there is no corporate tax, there is no Social Security tax, no Medicare tax, nothing. You don't want to do that, right? You don't want to set up a C corporation to have anything to do with real estate. It's not necessary and it doesn't work. You say, well, I can have a 401k. You don't want a 401k. You want to own more real estate. You don't want to own a 401k. You're trying to get away from 401ks, right? Well, I can write off expenses. You can write off expenses in whatever business entity you're using, whether it's LLC or an S corporation, whatever, you can write expenses off. So whoever told you this, and it's probably an attorney trying to sell you a C corporation, just let it go. Forgive yourself and let it go. The next thing I wanted to bring up today, wanted to get in, was condos. I got contacted by a guy yesterday that wanted to buy X number of condos out of a group of condos. And I told him, don't do it. I've been telling people for 35 years, don't do it. You, when you buy a condo, do not own your condo. You don't own the building. You don't own the land. You own airspace inside of a unit. And some percentage, whatever it is, 1/54th, 1/254th, of this entire company that owns this LLC, homeowner association owns this thing. And the bottom line is it is a disaster. Because whenever you have more than one head of anything, I call it anything that has more than one head is a serpent. And this is a monster. This is a bunch of ignorant people trying to decide how to run a real estate co-op that have no idea what they're doing. Legally, though, this person said, well, I'm going to own the majority of these in this group. Don't I have the voting rights to tell people what I want to do? And that's what everybody thinks when they get into these. But the truth of the matter is you don't, because you can't do anything that injures minority ownership. If you own the majority of condos, you still have to protect the minority ownership, and they can stop anything you want to do. So there's something you need to do, and you're going to charge everybody to do it. They can sue you and say you're doing it because you're using your own company to do it. You're doing it because you're making a kickback for doing it. You're doing it because only your particular units need it. There's hundreds of reasons I've seen minority owners sue majority owners in these condo associations. And it's a nightmare. Nothing ever gets done. And when it does get done, it has to be done in some type of manner that's triple the expense of not being in an association, because you have to get everything inspected before you do it. You got to get warrantied work with contractors that have insurance to the max. And anything and everything you do, you better do it at the most expensive manner, so nobody come back to you and say you did it on the cheap, in which case then they would have some type of a lawsuit against you. So you do not want to get into condos. In addition to that, when you own a condo and you try to rent it, the Homeowners Association has the ability to tell you you can't rent, you can rent. It has the ability to say you must show us your tenant's application and we can deny or agree to let you have that person live there. They can set up extenuating circumstances to leasing. Not to mention that if somebody gets into power and something goes wrong, they could spend millions to fix it and hit you back with some type of a special assessment. If you look at the condos in Florida, some of these buildings just started falling apart. These people out there lost millions on these deals, and there was nothing they could do because they didn't have control of the building. The control was controlled by the condo association. So you do not want to buy condos. I don't know. Let me see if I can figure out a better way to say this. Don't buy condos. Let me rephrase this. Do not buy condos. They're just the worst thing in the world. Now, I put this out on, I think it was Instagram, a statement such as this, and or Twitter, and the people on Instagram lost their minds. These people going, I own a condo. It's been great. Yeah, you're an idiot. You own one condo. You have no idea what you're doing. You're happy because you ever can afford to own anything, is probably the reality. The reason people buy condos is because they can't afford to buy real estate. In other words, a lot of my friends live in Miami. In Houston, they lived in nice, beautiful, big 3,000, 5,000, 8,000 square foot homes. When they moved to Miami, they bought condos. Why? Because you can't afford to own a home there. So you get inside of one of these condo associations, and there's rules and regulations and stuff you can and can't do. And there are association fees that just are huge. They're massive and they just keep going up. And so when they get there, they're all starlit about living in a place like Miami until they figure out the only thing they can afford to live in is a condo. And that's the kind of people, they own one of these condos and they think, man, this is great. You think it's great because you could actually afford to buy something. You can't really afford to buy a real piece of real estate. You can't afford a nice home, so you buy a condo. I understand. My first house I ever bought was a condo. I bought it for $27,000. 27 years later, I sold $27,000. It never went up in value because they're just garbage, right? You say, well, I have a high-rise condo. Okay, well, then you have a high-rise piece of garbage that is going to cost you through the nose. Say, well, I can sell it to somebody else. Because, yep, there's the greater fool theory. Because it seems like it's sexy, you can probably find another person that's an idiot that can't afford to buy a house that would think living in your condo association is a cool thing. So there you go. It's just what came first, chicken or the egg? Dumb person or condo? Condo or dumb person? Which one came first? How do you sell a condo to a dumb person? How do you find a dumb person? Find somebody can't afford to buy a house, and so they want to buy a condo. I mean, it just goes in circles. This is a bad thing to do. You do not want to buy a condo. Every way, shape, and form, everything. I actually could probably do 2 hours on condos. I just don't want to waste another segment of the radio show. Let's go over here and let's talk about giant Class A apartment complexes, one of the greatest, largest, I can't even figure out how to say it, grand enough. The greatest, grandest, largest lies that I've ever heard on the internet are big-time syndicator guys, mostly one guy doing it, but everybody else copies this guy. And what he's telling everybody is that the larger the deal, the more expensive the deal, the better chances for you to make money. And that is absolutely backwards. It's actually completely backwards. And he wants you to believe that because why? He wants to do the largest possible deal he can do because he is getting fees. He's getting an acquisition fee. So the more expensive the property is, the larger his acquisition fee is. He's getting management fees. So the larger number of dollars there are collected each month, because he's getting paid on a monthly basis from the income, gross income, not profit, not net profit, but off of the gross income. The more expensive the units are, the larger the units are, the more units there are, the more money he makes. He may make a bottom line profit also. He's definitely making a management fee. He's making a renovation fee. He's making anything and everything, a distribution fee. It's just unbelievable. But the scam is that you need to be in the largest, most expensive real estate. I've been doing this for 35 years, and I'll tell you the truth. The smaller the deal we work on, the higher the rate of return on these deals. Anywhere from 25 to 50 to 100% returns does not come from big, giant deals. It comes from small deals that mom and pops have no idea what they're doing. They buy them, they mess them up, then we take them over with our expertise and we turn them around and make them worth double. Right? With leverage in place, we can make anywhere from a 25 to a 50 to 100. I've actually made as much as 300% return on deals before. That's the kind of deals that you really want to be in. The next concept is Class A's. I had someone talk to me about wanting to buy a Class A the other day and syndicate it through our group. And I said, no, our members are not going to sign up for this. You're buying this thing at a 4 cap rate. That's cap rate is what you earn the property if you buy the property cash. That's, in other words, it doesn't make any money. You're paying full price for this Class A property. But this one was a Class B, and they were paying 4 cap rate on a Class B, which is ridiculous. Even the best Class A out there should be a higher rate of return than 4%. But let's say you buy this thing at 4% or whatever. Where does a Class A apartment go from there? You have to think about it. It's brand new. It's shiny. Everybody wants to live there. You have all the traffic coming from the older properties to you. So what happens when you're 10 years old? Well, now you're an A minus. And if you keep yourself cleaned up, maybe you're a B plus. Later on, it just keeps going down. Maybe you're a B plus, then you're a B, then you're a B minus. It's just a matter of these properties don't get newer. They get older. So there's only two things to happen. You buy it and the value goes down over a long period of time, or you buy it when it's already down, fix it up, and make it pop back up to where it's worth more. Those are the two options. Really? Real estate does not continue to grow in value. Now, there are a few very, very specific places where it might, and that could be in a completely landlocked scenario where there's nothing else could ever go there, like New York City, right? Park, right there around the park. Maybe that stuff goes up every year or over a period of time goes up, even though it's older and older and older and older. But everywhere else in this world, Class A properties become Class B properties eventually, right? I think even in the big cities, even in New York and Miami, you're not the shiny new Class A anymore. You're the not-so-shiny Class B at some point. So you buy these very expensive properties with very low rates of return, and then over the period of time, that rate of return doesn't go up, but that price goes down, and maybe the rate of return goes down at some point. Who knows? You know, the bottom line is that the buying the top of the line of anything is not worth it unless it's a throwaway situation. Hey, you buy the best phone you can buy because you know within 1 year or 2 years, you're just throwing the thing away. So you get to enjoy for a year or two the best. And then when that best is old and there's three generations newer, then you go buy the best again. But when you go buy a giant piece of real estate worth 50 or 100 million bucks and it's only earning 4% and my savings account is earning 4.5%, I'd rather have that mega millions of dollars in a different type of real estate deal. Not necessarily in a savings account, no, but in a different type of real estate deal. One where I can earn 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 200% return. So when these guys tell you, these syndicator guys are the ones telling you, it's always syndicators because they're living off the fees. They're not living off the profit, bottom line profit of the deal. They're living off the fees. And when they're living off the fees, you are getting raked over the coals as an investor. So stay away from these guys. Just believe me, stay away from these guys because they're not paying you any money. In fact, if there was any way to actually find out what the distribution, what the rate of return to their partners was, which they would never allow to happen. But if there was, I guarantee you the partners are not happy, right? They are not getting rich by owning pieces of this overly priced real estate. All right, guys, look forward to seeing you at the Expo. Do not miss it. Text the word EXPO to 88007 and see me there. Have a great day.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.